Welcome back to the Domain Sherpa Network. This is the Digital Fortune Podcast, and today my guest is Jason Shepherd. Jason is a fellow domain investor, and we talk about all things domains. We discuss Dropcatch. We discuss building a portfolio from zero to, you know, a few thousand names. We discuss some of the challenges today and buying kind of names on the lower end of the spectrum in the $10 to $100 range, and what's the best method of doing so, and some strategies and some venues. We talk about Jason's portfolio sale this year, and a few of his other individual sales. I don't think it's very often that you get to hear about a portfolio sale of this size. I know you know people have heard of the sales that go to GoDaddy, the big sales, the March X's, and all those kind of sales, but not the smaller kind of portfolio sales. So that's an interesting discussion. And we talk about, you know, lots of the little things that us domainers like to talk about. So I hope you enjoy the show. If you do enjoy the show, please be sure to also give a shout out and check out our sponsors. Domainsmoke.com, digitalstartup.com, secretbrokerage.com, and dan.com. Without any further ado, let's get into the show, and I really appreciate you guys listening. Hey everyone, and welcome back again to Domain Sherpa, and this is the Digital Fortune Podcast. Today I'm joined by Jason Shepherd, fellow domain investor and friend, and excited to have you, Jason.
Hey Josh, great to be here.
Yeah, so thanks for jumping on. I know I only mentioned it to you a couple days ago, but you're super flexible and I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, no, I've been meaning to have you back for a little while, ever since, you know, we talk quite regularly, for those of you that, you know, listening and don't know, but Jason is a part of a group of investors where we chat pretty regularly about, you know, domains and strategies and all kinds of different things, all kinds of different topics. So, you know, I stay up to date with Jason quite a bit. I figured that we could come up here and kind of catch up and talk about what's been happening and what's to come.
Sure, glad to.
Cool. So how's the year been going for you in general?
It's been a really amazing year. January started out very, very strong. I had set a goal for this year to eclipse my total sales to date through the end of through the end of 2020. You know, as some of you may know, I know you're aware, I kind of pivoted to more of a full-time domainer in 2020. When COVID hit, the DJing kind of went away. So 2020 was a really good year. And I actually hit lifetime sales of 200,000, a little bit over 200,000 by the end of the year. And my goal this year was to have more than that total in this year alone. And remarkably, between a very strong January, a solid February, and a portfolio sale in March, I hit my goal for the year in March.
Yeah.
So I had to make new goals.
That's unbelievable. That's exactly what we want, right? I mean,
yeah.
I can't think of anything better. And you know what? I'm in the same boat. I was, you know, obviously I want to get better year over year. I, you know, surpassed my goal in March as well. So I'm in the same boat as you. You only got started really investing in domains like 2019. And that was on a part-time basis. And then, you know, you got full-time in 2020. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, I traced it back, and there were a few domains I bought in 2017 that were, you know, I had bought with the mind of investing, but, and then 2018 I had some, but I mean, like in January of 2019, that was my first NamesCon. My partner and I, my partner had come on in December, late December, early January. And so really, realistically, that's when it got started. I think my portfolio was probably like 400, 500 names at that point. So, yeah. I mean, I did have, you know, some history, you know, a little bit of time in the industry, but yeah, really 2019 is where I kind of hit my stride and really started focusing on it.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of people are in the spot of getting started at the moment, a lot more than I would say probably ever before. How do you go from zero to, you know, 5,000 names, I guess, is which are a ballpark of where you're at or where you've been at. How do you go from zero? Like, what's the, when you started getting serious in January 2019, was it, you know, how did you scale up quickly? Were you looking in GoDaddy? Were you looking at Dropcatch? Like, was it hand registrations mostly? How do you go from such a, you know, literally know nothing, have no domains, to building up a portfolio that actually has value?
Well, the you know, the process was gradual, but then, you know, you hit times where you're like, whoa, did I really add 600 domains to my portfolio in this 1 month? but the bulk of my names are discount drops at Dropcatch. There's a fair number of pre-release names in the portfolio, but realistically, huge, and those would be typically huge domains drops. They don't drop as good of names anymore. I don't know, something about what they, you know, that what they decided to cast off. But it seems like now you have to wade through like 90% first name, last names to find any gems in there, and the you know, the cost benefit just isn't really there. But there, I still find that the discount drops are just really prime for mining. And it's kind of a process where I put in a certain number a day, not expecting to get all of them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, other people are going to bid more. Partner, AKA Huge Domains, is going to preempt some of them if you don't put in a full price back order. And then I still do some full price back orders. It's just kind of depends on the quality of the name and or what I think the competition for it's going to be. I mean, there are names that I see, I'm like, I would love that name, but I don't think I need to do a full price back order on it, because I think it's going to fly under Huge Domains radars and other investors' radar.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. When you do your back order, I'll say from my perspective, when I go from discount to full back order, it's like the gap is kind of strange for me, because I normally stop at around like $20 to $21 from a discount back order standpoint, but then obviously the gap between $20 and $21 to $59 is actually quite significant. Do you ever discount back order for like $30 or $35?
Never. I mean, the only thing I might do that on would be a .NET that I really wanted. Like I would consider bumping up a .NET, because I have a hard time paying $60 for any .NET that's dropping.
Yeah.
But there are some that might come across that I'm like, hey, you know, wouldn't mind throwing that in the portfolio. It's not a premium one word, but it's a, you know, something like, I can remember this, and I'm not saying I bid 30 on it, but I mean, like, I picked up pronghorn.net. Pronghorn is an animal, you know, single word animal, and it's a single word, you know. Yeah. It's not like prong horn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not the best animal. It's not like having, you know, elephant, but it's, you know, it's an animal, and it's a one word. And so, you know, something like that, I would bid higher than usual, but I kind of use my bid as a limiting factor. So if I identify 100 names, and there are plenty of days that I identify 100 names, I may put them all in low to limit myself, because I may not want to get 100 names, but I may want to get, you know, what I can of those. So, you know, if I want them all, you know, I'm going to bump it up above the minimum or above, you know, the lower teens. And the, but yeah, I totally get what you're saying, though. The gap, like, to me, if you get up to like even close to 20, I'm like, yeah, the long-term holding difference in between 20 and 60, it's not, you know, I would rather pay the 60. If I like it enough to pay 20, I like it enough to pay 60.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I mean, it happens pretty often where I get quite aggressive on the back orders at 59 now and at the $60 just because I want to be sure that I win it. And then when I win it and it's uncontested, I kind of think to myself, could I have done 25 there?
No, exactly. I mean, that is, I mean, like, the worst is if I'm rushing. Like, if it's like 115 and I don't have my list prepared and I'm not doing the good call, I'm like, oh man, these all look good. I'm just throw them in full price.
And then, yeah, like today, huh? Like today, like yeah, after the show.
Yeah, after the show, exactly. And then, you know, and it's what's crazy though is that on the discount drops, sometimes, like right now, you know, their Dynadot has a special for $6.99 registrations. So at that point it becomes, okay, well, instead of putting in 100 of these, let me see how many of them make it through and I'll get them at $6.99 and I can save my cost and cut down on my cost basis.
Yeah.
And so some days I'll do that. I'll just, and then that gives me an extra, then I'm like, all right, well, if it made it all the way through, am I missing something? Is it not as good as I thought it was? And then, so that might be a limiting factor too. I mean, the thing that I've kind of discovered is that there's no dearth of inventory. There's plenty of inventory out there.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're well capitalized, you know, you could go from zero inventory to, you know, huge domains in a matter of years. But, you know, I have to take it a little easier than that because, you know, you don't want to overextend yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. There is a ton of inventory for the portfolio model. I think that it's difficult for a lot of people to understand like what actually is a good domain and what isn't, because sometimes it's just hard to tell. Like you cannot really tell unless you've sold a lot of names, I would say, in a lot of cases, because, you know, you look at the stats and there's a lot of good names that are registered in one extension that would be good for, you know, a portfolio. There's a lot of domains, you know, that are plurals that might be good to put in a portfolio. But, you know, so a lot of like the standard rules that we talk about from like mid-tier standpoint don't really apply to portfolios when you're trying to, you know, acquire a bunch of names in the, you know, $10 to $50 range. I think that it comes down to a little bit of knowing what sells and what doesn't, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I had this conversation with Mike Seiger the other day. I'm like, there are names that on paper do not seem like good names, but I can look at those names and be like, that name will sell. I know it's going to sell.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the exact example I gave him was an early one that sold to mine, and it was machinepop.com. No idea what you're going to use it for, but I'm like, machine pop, somebody will buy that. And sure enough, it sold. Yeah. And we, actually, you know, we looked at some of the metrics and there's no compelling reason to buy that name to resell it.
Yeah.
Other than just the way it sounds and a gut feeling that I think that's something that somebody would buy. And that's the case a lot of times. And then the opposite's true too. I just had a recent sale, of a foreword.com that I re-registered. In other words, it dropped and I registered it by hand that same day. Didn't put in a discount back order or anything on it.
Nobody went for it, huh?
Right. And it was gameonplayon.com. It was, I normally wouldn't buy that, but it was registered in 8 extensions. And that's something that I've learned from you is that, you know, when you get up into the high single digits or the low double digits on extensions, that means that, you know, I mean, it seems obvious, but that the demand is going to be a little greater than something that has one. And I have plenty of domains that are only registered in the extension I own, but those are going to be brandables that I thought up or that were dropped that I liked and I felt would sell, because I think sometimes with a brandable, it's almost a benefit to have fewer registrations because you're trying to carve out your own brand on that. But this one, I just, you know, I was like, all right, well, it's a hand registration, it's registered in 8, and it sold so quickly that I had to push it to the Afternic escrow account.
How much did it sell for?
$3,400. And it was a, And that was a negotiated sale. For whatever reason, I think probably just because of the number of extensions it was registered in, I'd listed it around 5K with like a 2,400 minimum. And after Nick negotiated it to the brokers, negotiated 3,400 for me.
That was game on, play on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game on, play on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that didn't get picked up on a discount back order. I mean, to be honest, with 8 extensions taken, you know, for me, sometimes when I'm trying to filter through names and I don't have as much time as usual, I'll like limit it to maybe like 3 words instead of 4 words or something like that. So that might be like one reason why it slipped through. But, you know, still 8 extensions and to slip through and not even get a discount back order is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. I mean, and that's probably the outlier, but, and that's the whole reason I bought it. Cause I usually filter for my first pass is usually 2 names because I mean, realistically, I mean, you can do 1, but then you're going to get lulled into say, oh, it's a word, but it's not a good word. So I usually filter by 2. And then I might flip the filter for 3 and just see if there's anything, you know, that catches my eye. It's not too long or makes real good sense.
Yeah.
Or is a good, you know, just a good phrase. I mean, last year I sold "You Are Brave." Something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's going to miss a lot of people's filters, you know?
Yeah. Because
they're going to be looking for 2 words and I'm like, "You are brave." I mean, yeah, I don't know what the buyer's doing with it. I haven't checked, but I mean, that's just a great name. I mean, you could do a lot with that. And so, the filtering on a daily basis is just, I mean, you can spend so much time doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. So, I mean, I turn a lot to Dropcatch, snap names for, you know, names in that sub $100 range. I used to be really heavy. I was talking to Dennis about this. I used to be really heavy in closeouts as well, but I don't feel like I get the same quality closeouts at $50 than I would get at Dropcatch for like a discount back order, to be honest. So I've turned away from GoDaddy a little bit. How about you?
I was into your conversation with Dennis and I've had a little bit of the opposite situation. And it's really just been the last few weeks and I'm still trying to figure out what the triggers are for everybody because, you know, I'll see something that I like and it's counting down. There was one yesterday. I can't think of what it was. Oh, I know what it was. Yesterday I was draftville.com. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. I'm like, do I let it go to 50 or do I put in a $12 bid and see if I can snag it for 20 today instead of having to wait till tomorrow or wait till it gets down? Because I think if it gets to 50, you got a really good chance of getting it at 40 or 30.
Yeah.
And then I think the buying pressure comes in on that $11 drop because that's a big drop from 30 to 11. And so I have bought a number of names at 30, 40 and a couple at 50. And I'm typically the ones I'm buying there are ones that are pre-approved for Brand Bucket.
And then
I'm not going to get into a lot of detail because it's, you know, there's a limited number of those, but there are ways to determine if a name has already been approved on Brand Bucket. May have gone through the cycle, may have been dropped by an investor, could have been purchased by an end user that eventually went out of business. But if I see one of those and I know that it's approved at $2,000 or above, on Brand Bucket, a lot of times I'll pay the 50 or maybe wait for the 40 or the 30. But yeah, so on Draftville yesterday, I loved the name. I thought it was one that I might be able to snag. So I let it get down to like 3 minutes and I put a single bid in on it. And like 30 seconds later, I put in a proxy because I didn't want to put in 12 and then put another bid and possibly see somebody notice the multiple bids. So I put in like a decent proxy, like around 50. I put in $49. I was like, let me just see this experiment because I'm contemplating waiting on it for 50. So I'll put 49 in as my proxy. And if somebody, you know, takes a little stab at it at the last minute, maybe I'll outlast them. Did not happen. Somebody bid at like under 3 minutes, and it wound up going for like mid 100s. And I think I bowed out around 155. And I don't even think it was, I don't think it was huge domains either. So it's just a, it's just such a, there's so many nuances to trying to get these names. So, because had I waited 3 more minutes and let it go to closeout, there's a, I feel like there's a very good chance I could have gotten that for $50.
Mm. Yeah. If huge domain didn't enter the auction, then yeah, you probably could have, but there's, you know, there's not just huge domains. I would say there's at least 3 to 5 other sniping bots, maybe a couple more. And yeah, I don't know. It is a bit of a gamble. I would say that the quality of names that do go without any kind of bids is actually really high, but you know, if they're not taken by someone who's manually checking, you know, a couple minutes after, and they're not taken by a bot, you know, they are taken pretty quickly after that, within hours. So if you're going like to the, if you're at like the end of the day saying, okay, I'm going to check the closeouts.
Yeah.
By that time, it's, in my opinion, it's close to too late. But
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But so there are still names that don't get picked up at 50, and if they don't get picked up at 50, there's a good chance you can get them at 30. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, for me, I'm not seeing the same level of names that I was seeing, you know, maybe this time last year for $11.
And that could be the case, because last year I was very focused on huge domains and the discount drops, and I wasn't really playing in the closeouts as much, so I don't have as much to compare it to. But the way I look at it now is, if a name that hits closeout at 50, if that is a name that if I saw I would put in a full price drop for it, then I don't have a problem buying.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at that point, the price is the same for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
And I think there are names that hit there. You know, I like the fact that names that go to drop typically, you know, haven't gone through the expert, you know, that I would put in a discount back order for it, drop catch, haven't gone through GoDaddy.
So yeah.
So many of the expiring names go through GoDaddy's auction platform that I think I was probably missing out on some quality by not looking at it more than I did.
Mm, yeah. The great thing about GoDaddy expiry, you know, stream is that, you know, you retain the age of the domain, which, you know, does have value. You know, how much value, it's debatable, but there is certainly some value to retaining the age of the domain. Because I think, just from my perspective, I think from like a buyer's standpoint, you know, they can look and they can see, hey, this domain is, you know, 10, 15 years old. I'm not, you know, purchasing a domain that was recently registered. And I think that for the psyche, that makes a difference for the savvy buyer that knows to look at who is. Now, does that mean that most of the buyers are going to look at who is and look at domain age? Probably not. But, you know, here and there will be a few. So I think that, you know, particularly on the mid-tier names, that makes a difference. I don't know. Talking about mid-tier names, Jason, how are you doing in that department? Are you buying, you know, names in that kind of, let's say, 250 to 2,500 range?
You know, I started buying some, but I don't have the confidence level in my ability to judge those as well as I do on the lower end. Mm. And honestly, you know, like I said earlier, I've had a pretty good year. So I had a little bit of funds to play with. I started buying some better names than maybe I would have last year. And, you know, it gets to a point where if I spend $1,000 on a name and I think to myself, you know, I could have gotten 80 discount drops for this.
Yeah.
And you look at the sell-through rate and I'm like, all right, well, I know what the sell-through rate is on the type of names that I get. I mean, the discount drops sell at a pretty consistent 1.2%. mean, that's just what I've found on the type of names that I buy. And so, you know, you just have to work out the math, and it's like, all right, so is the sell-through rate times the average sale price on the 80 names I could get for the same price as this one better name going to make more sense in the long term than buying this one name? And I'm a strong believer that you know, you have to have a kind of a little bit of a bifurcated portfolio. So I do want to have better names, but I mean, it's hard for me to make that leap. And I start second guessing myself. I mean, I'm looking right here. I mean, at some of the names I bought recently. I mean, Field Ranger for $470, picked it up the other day, not delivered yet. So hopefully I'll have it before this airs and somebody doesn't go renew it.
Hey, that's a good name.
I mean, I feel like it's a good name too. But like, I don't have the ultimate confidence level that I'm going to sell that at, you know, 10 to 20X in the same time that I could sell the same dollar amount